Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to the original Loretta Brown Show Radio to open the heart, heal the soul, awaken the consciousness. Ta-da! Mr. Benny Mather.
Ta-da! Boom! Just like that.
I always think, you know, everyone should have a theme song when they come into the room. There's like,
100%. Okay, you could take it back to like, if you go to like sporting events now, or let's take baseball, for example, you know, when batters come up for their walk-up or something like that before they take a hit, they have a selected song that usually the batter chooses. So if they're like in the country, or it kind of gets them hyped up, you know. I haven't really, actually, we went to a baseball game last Saturday, and it was kind of, we talked about it amongst the family while we're sitting there watching the game. I'm like, I would do something bizarre, like, you know, like a SpongeBob SquarePants or something like that. Like just some rant, or Baby Shark, you know, but like a but like a techno Baby version. Shark. So we got, you know,
like a techno version.
That'd be me.
Yeah, I love that. Mm-hmm. I love that. So how is life?
Life is good. News. Yep, it's true. Had it done last Friday. A little sore, but I'm okay. Everyone's okay. I know, right? Everyone's all like, ooh. And if you're watching the YouTube,
I just send you Reiki right now. I send you healing. Everybody just send some love and healing.
Thank you.
And goodness to Mr. Benny.
I welcome all the love.
This is softness, you know, that kind of thing.
Frozen peas and the bees.
Well, I do. I thank you for sharing that, and I'm right there.
It's the least I could do to start the show this
morning.
Thank you. You're welcome.
I think you're right on time with that. You know, I'll talk about astrology in a minute, but you know, it's endings and beginnings right now. It's big
Well,
stuff.
There you go, right there. You know, okay, round of applause for me. All right, Benny, good job. Way to do it, kid. Attaboy. Attaboy.
Oh, there's so many things that come to mind that will not come out of my mouth because, you know, somebody posted a meme the other day and it said something like, sometimes I open my mouth and my mother comes out. And I'm like, oh, yeah, well, we love our mothers. But yes.
And sometimes those things where like you say it and it leaves and then you just wish you could grab it and pull it right back and you can't.
Like, yeah, that is so true.
That might be one of those times.
Well, it might be one of those times. Right. Yeah, I love it. Anyway, I always talk to Benny. I say it all the time, but Benny's wonderful and everybody give him lots of credit. He does all kinds of shows and I really mean it, Benny. You're the best.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
You're welcome. And I'm Loretta Brown. I'm the owner of Reiki Oasis located right here in the greater Seattle area for 28 years. Long time we've been around. Lots of good stuff always happening at Reiki Oasis. And you can find me at ReikiOasis.com or schedule.ReikiOasis.com. We're a listener-supported show, and thank you to those people that support us. My monthly class for women is coming up this coming Saturday, April 20th. Ooh, is a big astrological day. I'll talk about it in a minute. But you can actually join me, the Temple of the Divine Feminine. You can come in person or join us via Zoom. And you can find out more about that. If you need information, you can email me at ReikiOasis@gmail.com or just go to the scheduler and get yourself signed up. So astrologically, here we are. We are in the last day of Aries season because April 19th to the 20th, somewhere in there. Tomorrow, the sun moves out of fiery, passionate Aries, my birth sign, into earthy, methodical, nurturing, grounded Taurus. And with this move, we're going to hopefully feel more grounded, or it's going to ground some things. Let's put it that way, bring them down. We may crave more structure in our day-to-day routine or feel the need to get to set our roots deep into the earth and create some stability and security in our lives. It's also a time when we may feel more indulgent or the need for some restorative self-care. Time to take care of the self, right? Ruled by Venus, Taurus is about the body, the living level of our lives, and money, 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 money. On Saturday, April 20th, we've got a big, big event, a Jupiter-Uranus conjunction in the sign of Taurus. It's one of the rarest cosmic alignments we'll see this year. And I know we've been having these eclipses, we've been having this, we've been having that. Jupiter and Uranus come together every 14 years. However, this is a rare conjunct in Taurus that happened previously in 1858 and in 1941, the year the U.S. entered World War II. Now, these are volatile times. There's no reason to repeat history. Hopefully, we learn from history. We are hopefully, and yes, we are, in an infinitely more enlightened and aware state today, and well on the, as people call it, the ascension path. Uranus is the planet of revolution and change, innovation, and freedom. Its job is to kick over the game board and to send all the pieces flying. It delights in treating everyone to a wild spin on the wheel of fortune. Jupiter is the planet of faith in astrology, and it's also the planet of higher purpose, innovation, and freedom. It's Jupiter's job to make sense of all of Uranus's crazy goings on and to extract a divine plan from all of the chaos. And this is considered a very lucky transit. It has an active window until May 25th. So there is time to get energy moving and start digging in the dustbin of your dreams that you have abandoned or set aside, or they've just been sitting over there waiting for now, and implement some things. It's an innovative time. It's time to ground your ideas and build something. And for some people who have not really set themselves up, maybe the conjunction may prove disastrous if they don't want to see their best laid plans turned on their heads or their belief systems exposed as false securities. While for others, like I said, this will be a very rewarding and fulfilling time. Rewarding is in that they have paid their dues and can stand on their own two feet. And fulfilling, because after years of hard work, they are now stepping into the destiny they have worked so hard for. Now, as these planets merge their energies together, we're going to get a strong push for innovative things, a growing desire for freedom. And Uranus is also the planet of advanced technology. So we could see powerful technological advancements that usher us into the technology age or the technological revolution. Jupiter and Uranus coming together in Taurus also turns our attention to the financial markets. We may see some volatility in the market, or there could be big announcements that change the landscape of the global and U.S. economy, which, by the way, is heading towards a bull run, in case you didn't know. And actually, everything hits right on Saturday. I'm not going to get into that too far, but just take a look at your finances and anchor down in a little bit, right? On a more personal level, this alignment can bring a stronger urge for freedom, doing things your own way and being more authentic to how you really think and how you really feel. Uranus can bring spontaneous, radical, unstable energy. And like I say, it also rules seismic activity. I saw that there was a volcano that blew somewhere in an ocean on an island somewhere. I'm sorry, I don't know where it's at. But we do have a lot of that sort of thing going on. And recognize that in Taurus, you know, there will be things that you'll see on the earth, but it's also more of a stabilizing energy. It's also interesting to note that Jupiter and Uranus are coming together at 21 degrees of Taurus, which is known as the White Dove degree. This degree indicates protection and a positive messenger and reminds us that God, our spirit guides and angels are always looking out for us, even if it doesn't always look like it or feel like it. And it's easy to ignore the white dove when things are bad. But when we look for the universal support, when we trust that our angels and guides and our intuition are watching out for us, we can step into a place of receiving. Wow, what powerful energies. On Sunday, April 21st, the sun in Taurus squares Pluto in Aquarius, and the energies might be a little bit heavy. You might be pressured by something, uneasy in your life. and just understand that this is the pressure that is pushing us toward transformation. And then we're headed into, ooh, my guest is going to like this. Tuesday, April 23rd, we have a Scorpio, woohoo, full moon. We're done with the eclipses for now, although we're in the windows between now and the ones in the fall, but we're still very much feeling the waves of transformative energy that have been started, and we're likely to be in a very different place as we pass through this full moon of Scorpio. So, wow, I'm going to bring my guest on, who happened to tell me before the show, she's like, Scorpio, Scorpio, Scorpio. I think there should be a song about it. My guest today is Kim Chesney, and she says we have an untapped whole portion of our mind that we haven't used yet, and intuition is the key to unlocking that and expanding our consciousness. Kim Chesney is the author of The Illumination Code, Radical Intuition, and The Psychic Workshop. She is the founder of Intuition Lab and the Create Festival. Her work raises awareness about the importance of insight in the evolution of individual and world consciousness. Working for nearly 20 years in the tech sector, Kim has led initiatives with some of the top thought leaders, technology companies, and universities in the world. She's been everywhere, all over, and now she's on the original Loretta Brown Show. Again, thank you for being here, Kim. It's great to see you.
Thanks for having me back. It's great to be back. And I feel like this is just the right time to have me on your show with all these conjunctions.
What's your function?
Hooking up words and phrases and clauses.
Conjunction, junction. How's that function?
I got three favorite cards that get most of my job done.
All this astrology, and you came on and I went, you know, and then also because the Scorpio full moon is headed this way and the energy just feels like, whoa, what's going to happen, Kim? What is happening, right?
Yep. Yeah, so, it's crazy.
Yeah, so it is crazy. So you have this great book, The Illumination Code, 7 Keys to Unlock Your Quantum Intelligence. So, whoa. Let's just jump right in, shall we?
Yeah.
Quantum intelligence. Quantum. Are you going to say the word quantum a lot during this show?
I may or I may not. You'll be surprised. Yeah, I'm not. I try not to overuse that word because I know it's one of those buzzwords and people are like quantum, quantum, quantum. But like for real, this actually makes sense. And so do you want me to tell you what your quantum?
Yes.
Yeah, right. So
absolutely. Jump right in.
It's the big mystery, you know, it's a very mysterious title, The Illumination Code, Quantum Intelligence. What is going on here? What am I talking about? So if you know anything about my work, and thank you for that lovely introduction that kind of gave us an overview, I am very passionate about one particular subject, and that is intuition. I have been studying my whole life, researching my whole life. I founded a school called Intuition Lab, where we have groups of people working together to research it. And what I have discovered, and also sharing a passion for quantum physics, I'm an artist, but I also love science. I actually have one class short of a minor in physics when I was in college. So I've always had a passion for that as well. So this book really represents sort of all of my worlds coming together when we realized that one pretty simple way to understand intuition is that it is, in fact, a quantum phenomenon. And this is something that when you start to look at intuition through this lens, that it is a quantum function, it really explains everything. Like you look back in the past, like throughout history, everything related to intuition was considered impossible, right? Like precognition, telepathy, prophecies, remote viewing, things, all of that stuff is like in the supernatural realm because it's not possible with the known laws of physics in this reality. And what do we have in common with quantum physics? Just about everything in quantum physics that we've discovered seems impossible in our physical reality because it works in a separate set of laws of physics. It works in the microcosmic level instead of the material level. So we start exploring intuition as actually our interface with that microcosmic dimension and our way that we perceive and work with that dimension, as opposed to our regular thinking mind, which interfaces with this dimension. For starters.
Oh yeah, I have 57 questions. We're not going to get to them all. I love everything you just said. So I'm going to ask a question. So are we hardwired within ourselves for intuition? And I'm bringing, because I know you do this in the book, kind of bringing science and woo-woo together. So are we hardwired for it? What have you discovered?
Everybody, men, women, everyone, all humans, all animals, actually, everything really is connected and wired for intuition. Intuition is sort of the invisible internet. It functions on the invisible internet that happens in the microcosmic quantum field that's around us. So every person can develop their intuition. We just have certain people that are born more open to using that sort of part of their brain. So you have people that are gifted and talented and can really do these remarkable things, but everyone has it. Everyone's guided by it. Everyone's felt it in their lives, whether they recognize it or not. And everyone can develop it and get better at it.
Yeah, that was my question. Can everyone access it? And I think your book is kind of a workbook. I'm just letting people know the Illumination Code. And I love the title. So what do you think has happened? I don't even know if you can answer this question. It's one of those things where I ponder all the time. What happened that people either lost track of this or they just thought they shouldn't use it or what? Go there. Yeah.
So I think that there's sort of a confluence of events that got us into this sticky situation where we are right now, where we've been pretty much convinced that intuition isn't real, that it's just something we either made up or some, you know, sort of old wives' tale that only women have. Right. So I think originally we had very strong intuitions, many centuries and centuries ago, before we relied so much on writing and communications the way we do now. So I think our natural, and children have very natural intuition. You see kids with their invisible friends and they just sense things and they know things. If someone passed, like I saw grandma, you know, like, so kids are very much an example of our natural intuition when they come to the world. But what's happened over the centuries in time, first of all, is we came into the age of materialism and the age of information. So we started to really start to rely on if I see it, I believe it kind of mentality, right? Okay. For it to be real, I have to see it to believe it. And then also we started getting so caught up in the mind, right? So look at our society, you know, we go to school, we get our PhDs, we sort of like shuffle the arts like under the carpet. They don't really matter so much in our education system. We sort of condition children out of all that imagination that they're born with. So I think it's part tradition coming through a materialistic society, but then it's also right now alive in our culture is this deconditioning to our intuition. So it starts to atrophy. We just use it less and less. And what happens is it never all the way goes away. You get those little bursts, those little moments. So if you talk to most people, they'll say once or twice, maybe a few times in my life, I've had these really weird experiences that I can't explain, because it'll always get through in some little bit, even if it's just a breakthrough for a minute, it's still there. So there's ways for us to start opening that up, letting that out, rebalancing our mind. It's time. The intuition age is upon us. It's happening. We've gone as far as we can go with our really smart thinking minds. We've created great societies, great learning systems. But now we've realized we're starting to embrace the fact that intuition is the source of genius. We might, our intellectual minds make us really smart, but intuition makes us genius. And every great mind in history, Einstein, Tesla, Steve Jobs, the list goes on, prophets, mystics, all of them have credited intuition as the source of their genius. So it's a really exciting time to be exploring intuition.
Yeah, I am. I'm following along with what you're saying. I love it. I was thinking when you were talking that we do an awful lot of the development of what I call the logic brain or the left brain, you know, for going to school, you know, and I'm of an age where we sat in rows and we sat at desks, right? That's how that works. And I'm also kind of being with the raising of our consciousness and how this actually makes a whole lot of sense that we work our way through a certain aspect of thinking, like you said, the intellectual brain. And now we're getting to the genius, the illuminated
Yes.
Brain. Yes. I'm going to your title.
Yes. Exactly.
Right. So it's an expansion. I feel like an egghead while you're talking to me, like one of those guys with the big heads.
We want to expand our minds. That's what it's about. It's about expanding our minds and really opening up to what is possible. Now, we've seen these phenomenon, all of the phenomenon that I mentioned before, psychic phenomenon, psychic ability, now has its counterpart in quantum physics. There's things that explain it. It's not a mystery anymore. We know about things like entanglement and the quantum field that and the unified field and all of this stuff actually is really offering a framework to understand that these impossible things are possible. And if this is just showing what we're capable of. If some people can do these little things, like I talk about in my book, how my journey started with a gypsy giving me a palm reading, telling me in 3 years, I was in England at the time, and she told me in 3 years I'd be in a foreign courtroom. In 1994, she gave me a date. And sure enough, in that same date, I ended up on jury duty, sequestered in this big deal. So to me, there was no denying that people are able to see the future. Like, I'm like, I don't know how she did it, but she can do it. And if she could do it, can I do it? Can you? Shouldn't we all be able to do it, right? So that was the big question. And that sort of set me on this sort of lifelong quest to understand and share this ability and how, you know, really it shows us what all of us are capable for as we grow and evolve and expand our consciousness.
I love that. I read your book and I read that story about the gypsy. I love how you answered the question because it was going to be my next question. I love that.
Intuitive.
So I love, yes, it, to me, it's just validating the whole thing. Like we already know what's happening or something. This though raises a big issue and, you know, it's a debatable thing. Maybe it's not, I don't think it is, but I'm going to ask the question. So can we tell the future? Right.
Oh yes. Is the future
set?
Yes. Like, and this is where we always get into, like, this is what, get ready to just have your mind blown. Okay. So this is with all of the work, this is that's the question that I think is the most mind blowing to people with this whole topic. The short answer is yes, we can 100% absolutely see the future. I can tell you because I've had it happen to me many times. That wasn't the only time, that was just the beginning. But the other part, the caveat to that is no, the intuition, the future is not set in stone, right? So how do we reconcile these two things? We can see the future, but we have free will to choose different options. So that's where quantum physics comes in. So there's some really great work on this topic done by Peter Smith, the author of Quantum Consciousness. I've worked pretty closely with him on all of this, and he actually wrote the foreword to the book. So I've learned a lot about this from his work, and he worked for 20 years as the director of the Michael Newton Institute. So if you're familiar with his work, yes. Yeah. So great minds who have been really focusing on this topic very deeply over the last couple decades. So what quantum physics tells us is that, you know, we don't live in a singular universe. There are alternate realities. There are a multiverse that we're living in, so that every time we make a choice, so physics lives and breathes in terms of potentiality, even on a particle level. I'm not going to get into all of the science of it, but particles exist in as a particle or wave, as reality or potentiality. And every time we have an opportunity to make a choice in our life, there are different paths and potentialities. So when we're seeing the future, we're likely seeing one of the strongest potentialities, right? So it's looking good that my future is going in this direction. Something could change and make it happen a different way, which is some reasons why maybe prophecies don't come true and different things don't happen because we made a change and took a different path. So the truth is there is an infinitude of multiple paths and alternate realities that we could have taken, like a fractal, kind of forever expanding into the universe in this beautiful creation and potentiality. And when we're able to see the future, it comes true, we aligned with that same path that we saw.
I love that because I have this conversation with a lot of people of, you know, they're like, Loretta, I have a choice to make and I have three choices, right? This. And so which one should I take, right? And I always do that where I sort of tap into those potentials or help them tap in to have them kind of get this idea. But the idea of potentiality, right? It's potential or it's probable, or we somehow play into that, because I have a lot of people argue that, no, we're predestined. This thing will happen. There's no way it cannot happen. And I'm looking at our world right now going, but we're all being called right now to step forward and participate in this in some fashion. So can you just talk at that?
Yeah. I think that's a great way of putting it. I mean, our intuition calls us forward. That's one of the roles of intuition. We have different ways that our intuition manifests. It comes as our inner guidance. It just shows us our path, the decisions that are best for us, but also calls us forward with our hearts and our passions and our callings that are designed to make the world a better place. So our intuition ultimately is our best friend. It wants us to expand with the universe. We're all born into an expanding universe. We're particles manifested consciousness and expanding universe. And our intuition wants us to keep expanding with it, right? So it's not one of those things where we want to just live and sit in our little house and never do anything and just, right? The universe doesn't want that. It wants us to open our minds and have new experiences and be alive. So when you're called forward on these, whatever paths you decide to take, whatever your road is, listening to those callings in your heart can help you align with your best path through the best path of the world to give your own contribution to make the world a better place.
Wow, Kim, I'm just thinking to myself how very excited I am you're on the show today of all days, because we are on, in my opinion, we're on a tipping point. We're on the cusp of the brand new. And I got goosebumps just saying that. And it is so important for all of us to understand we can access our intuition to help us guide ourselves through the future that's here, and also to help shape it. Like, I really think it's a very important thing.
Yeah. Absolutely. And they say that change starts within, change starts at home. Well, it starts with following those intuitive nudges that are calling you and telling you, yes, this is the way forward. And if we all start to listen to our intuition, it brings us together as a people. It heals us. It leads us towards peace and unity and all the things that our society really needs and craves. So I personally think more people following their intuition, listening to our higher self instead of our ego self, instead of worrying about money and cars and our wants and needs and all that, and listening to that voice of truth within us can be such a healing force in the world right now.
Yeah, I so agree. Absolutely agree. So we're going to take a little station break. This is Loretta Brown. My amazing, wonderful, exciting guest is Kim Chesney, author of The Illumination Code. Don't you just have to light up when you say Illumination Code?
Right, literally.
Yeah. So don't go away. We'll be right back, and we're going to jump more into quantum entanglement. That's where we're going to go. Anyway, we'll be right back.
You should do a podcast. Ever hear this from someone? Maybe you brushed it off. Yeah, right. Me, a podcast. Well, you might be surprised. Podcasting can be easy and affordable. But like anything else, you're going to have to get educated. Why not share your voice? Say what you want to say and say it professionally with a produced podcast. Call 425-653-1020. That's 425-653-1020. Because, hey, you know what? You should do a podcast.
Did you know that Reiki healing can be done at a distance? It's true. So let Reiki Oasis focus powerful energy to help relieve your stress, grief, sadness, anger, and so much more. Convenient, personalized treatments at a distance can increase lightness of being. During your appointment, find a quiet place to lie down or sit to receive healing energies. If you want help with your dis-ease, visit ReikiOasis.com. Harness life's energy. Visit ReikiOasis.com today.
Staying active and healthy as we age starts with strong bones. To keep your bones strong, you need calcium, vitamin D, and regular exercise. A bone density test called DEXA helps detect low bone mass and bone disease called osteoporosis. If you're 65 or older, Medicare provides free bone density tests every 2 years. Ask your doctor to schedule yours. For more information on how to be bone strong, visit pathtogoodbonehealth.org.
Alternative Talk, 1150 on AM, 98.9 HD3 on HD, 1150kknw.com on the web.
Without facts, the decision cannot be made logically.
Love, love, love. Absolutely.
Aww, I got
digital cards. That was so perfect. Thanks. Yeah. So welcome back to the original Loretta Brown Show with my amazing guest, Kim Chesney, and we're talking about her book, The Illumination Code. Just a reminder that these shows are download for free, available at the archives for the original Loretta Brown Show at KKNW, 1150 AM. And of course, we're also on iTunes, Spotify, Podcast One X, Megaphone, YouTube. I'm sure I've left something out, but you get the idea. You can find us all over the place, and please listen to it again and again. And just go and get Kim's book right now, The Illumination Code, 7 Keys to Unlock Your Quantum Intelligence. Just do it, you know.
Don't regret it.
We are. I want to talk about what is quantum entanglement? What is this non-local quantum field? Tell us.
So two of the coolest concepts in this book. All right. So let's start with the quantum field first, because it explains entanglement. This throwing around the Q word again, quantum field. There's a lot of different words for the quantum field. It's also called the non-local field, the unified field, the field of everything. It's also can be called, some of us in our world might have known it as the Akashic field. You've heard of the Akashic record, right? So the Akashic record was a term, an idea that came up a couple hundred years ago, back before we understood things like computers and data storage and quantum physics at all. So naturally, what the people who were working with their intuition back then realized that they could go within themselves and tap into this reservoir of information that you visualize as a hall of records that you pull down with books and read, right? It's a great sort of meditative interface to create for this imaginary world or this field of information and energy of all of everything that's ever happened, will happen, and is happening now. So this Irvin Laszlo wrote a great book called Science of the Akashic Field. If you want to get into the real deep nuts of it, you've read that. So great book, really helps us to understand how intuition works through this field. So the idea is that there's an invisible field connecting and interpenetrating all things in existence everywhere in the universe. And that becomes our sort of internet or our interwebs that connects all things. So when you have a thought, you think about a friend, magnetically, the friend on some level knows that you're thinking about them. So this explains things where, like, oh, you pick up the phone and you're like, dad calls you at the same time. Like, oh, how did that happen? Very easily, because you have an invisible web of interconnection. So even though you're not consciously interacting in this physical material world, in the microcosmic quantum field, you're always sending out signals and receiving signals from the people you are entangled with. So is that enough on the field, or do you want to move into entanglement?
Oh, you can keep, you say whatever you need to say, because of course I love this, and you explain everything in a really great way. It's easy to follow.
Thank you. I'm trying to keep it simple. That was what was part of the big challenge with writing this book, because, you know, quantum physics has some really heavy thoughts that, I mean, it's like, I would have to read these books 2 and 3 times to really fully wrap my brain around it. So I really wanted to boil it down. Just a really simple concept that everyday people like me, like you, all of us can actually read and say, oh, okay, so this makes sense. So the idea with this field that we're all participating, it's really the cosmic storage bank, right? So everything that's ever done is just stored in this field. It's a code, a kind of illumination code that guides us and that gives us our access to truth, the truth of what is. So, you know, for example, if you're wondering, you're dating someone and you're like not sure if they're like really into you, and you know, you think they are because they're doing all the right things, they're calling you at the right times, but there's a part of you that just feels like they might be like have other people, they might not be serious. Well, your interactive logical mind has, you know, it can only see about 3 feet right in front of you, but your intuition has 360 view and knows everything that's happening everywhere. So that's when you have these gut feelings and these sort of knowings that you can't explain. It's because you're getting these signals from true reality, the truth. Your intuition knows the truth. That's why it can never be wrong. People always say, what happens when my intuition's wrong? I was like, well, your intuition can't be wrong. It's never wrong, because intuition is by definition truth, right? We get mixed up. We misidentify intuition, or we have certain expectations about what outcomes are. So we think it was wrong, but in the end, intuition can't be wrong, because it's really implicitly tied to our truth. So that's why the field is really valuable, knowing that this works, accepting that a part of us knows everything. There's a part of us, a deeper part of us, that knows everything that's going on everywhere, past, future, present, and that we're constantly being informed by that information, whether we're conscious of it or not.
So in this quantum field, right, all information, this Akashic field, whatever you want to call it, all information is available. I was thinking about the cloud, like when we store things in the cloud. So we're just talking about the bigger cloud, the cosmic cloud, whatever. The field of unified thought. Yeah.
Mm. And I love that metaphor. So I talk about it in the book because I do feel like the quantum field is sort of the universal cloud, right? It's that universal storage cloud. And we all have our sort of personal storage cloud, our memory, our local entanglements, things that we remember in this life. But the universal cloud holds all our lives, all our journeys, everything that's happening in the future, in the past, everything's happening. There really is no such thing as time, as we talked about. All of it's happening in the eternal now, which we can tap into and read with our intuition.
So, you know, like, for instance, remote viewing, which the government did for years, a lot of people are doing it now, right? Remote viewing, past lives, looking into the past, looking into the future, looking into parallel realities, talking to dead people, paranormal activities. All of that is there.
Yep. All of it. That's it.
So anyone can do it. Anyone can learn to do it. I'm kind of thinking it's just sort of a stunted muscle, right? Something that we were not trained or we weren't permitted to develop.
Yeah. I think that's why it doesn't happen naturally. But one of the things I find out in Intuition Lab, where we do all of those things, and what I realized very quickly when I started doing this work is it doesn't take much. We do remote viewing. We have a remote viewing, annual remote viewing event every year. And people who have never done anything with their intuition, when I show them how to do it, when they open up their minds, boom, it happens like that. It's not something that you have to do a lot of work with. So don't be like, feel daunted that you, I have to go do all this stuff and get degrees and figure out how to use my intuition. It's the opposite of the thinking mind. All we have to do with intuition is just learn to open up to it and receive it and recognize it. That's the hard part, is interpreting it, recognizing it, honoring it, trusting it, right? We have to get into that mindset, but it's so easy. Remote viewing is the easiest thing in the universe. People think it's so hard. I actually was just on Dawson Church's show and we had a great conversation about remote viewing. He was so excited. He's like, let's do it. Let's go and do remote viewing. And he literally sent me over the description of this. I have a little globe right on my desk of like one of those little lights, the seasonal lights. And he was like, just perfectly described it. I was like, see, you're a natural. You just did it like that, right? And then I did one and got his wife a figurine he was giving for his wife for his birthday. So it's so simple and people don't realize how easy it is. It just sounds impossible. Like, how could I possibly know that? And if you look at the track record, the U.S. government spent over $20 million in 20 years on remote viewing with artists like Ingo Swann. Like, he wasn't some person who was like trained in intuition. He was an artist. He was a naturally intuitive person. And he was an expert at it because of it. So there's so much evidence that this works and is real. And it's just a best kept secret that we're rediscovering.
Yeah. I love it. And I also love the fact that you have Intuition Lab. Right. And anybody can join that, can't they? Yeah.
Anybody. And I called it lab because it's a place for exploration, right? So all of the things I write about are things that we explore. What is a lab? It's a place to experiment, explore, try new things, right? So it really is an exciting place of discovery.
Yeah. I just really recommend that people join that or get involved and get your book, read through. You've got lots of great exercises in there that'll help people get started, to include remote viewing in
there. Yes, absolutely.
And I got to ask you this. So, you know, a lot of people talk about how we live in a simulation or a holographic deck, the matrix, right? Do we live in a simulation? And how involved are we in potentialities?
Yeah. So this is, I think, such a cool question. And I spoke with a woman called Dr. Jude Curvin, who wrote the book, The Cosmic Hologram, which really fascinated me on this subject. And we had a conversation about it. And no matter how you feel about the holographic universe, right? So we've realized this idea of a simulation comes down to the holographic universe. And we realized that there's no such thing as matter. This stuff right here seems real, but when you break it down, all the atoms turn into particles, and then the particles turn into something even smaller, where we know matter and energy are the same thing. But even deeper at the fundamental core, we realize that the world is actually built on information, that it's all kind of program, that everything, all of this stuff is created by programs of information that are carried on light, right? So we see fiber optics, right? How fast fiber optics carries information. We see it on the internet everywhere. So in electricity. So we're starting to realize that we are made, this whole universe, science now says this is not woo talking, that this universe is made, built of information carried on light. What does that sound like? I mean, you can't deny the fact that there's a parallel with some sort of simulation metaphor, right? So not everybody likes the idea of living in a simulation, and it doesn't necessarily mean we have like alien overlords creating a simulation or anything like that. This could be a living, beautiful simulation that we create, that we're creators of, but it has all the characteristics of a kind of video game in a lot of ways, even though I don't, it's much more profound than that and real, but I think it's a fair parallel. Like a video game could be like a very simplified version of what our material reality is.
Wow. Information carried on light. And I'm thinking of, in the movie, The Matrix, where they have all this stuff going this way, the light codes, the codes going down.
Illuminated.
Yeah, and I agree with you too. I've always thought that, people are talking about the evil alien race and they did this and they did that. And I'm like, well, what if that's part of this potentiality or are part of co-creating it or pulling it out or something?
Right.
It's a lot of conversation. So is our brain a quantum computer? Is our mind a quantum computer?
Some people are suggesting that, and it's been put forward. There's a whole sort of lane of contemporary physics that is exploring that, and it would tie right into the fact that intuition is a quantum function. So yes, we have to have some sort of quantum activity happening in our brains, and I think it's a fascinating area to explore. This is just the beginning, really. I think so excited about where we can go with all this. And to your question earlier about what's really going on in this world, I think we're at the with the brains that we have, I think we can't comprehend it yet. I think even if we had the answer, we wouldn't know how to comprehend it, because our brains are reduction valves. People always ask me, well, if we have access to all the universe out information of the universe, why don't we just know everything? Well, the answer is because our brains aren't built to do that. what I mean? Like our brains sift through, and they just allow us through our sensors and our input to perceive what we perceive as physical reality. There is so much more happening around us right now. There's, what blew my mind back in college when I was in philosophy class, and my professor got out this book and she said, we think we know so much about reality. And he opens it up and the pages folded out like this wide, this whole graph that spanned out six this wide. And then in the middle, there's a sliver like this big. And it said, that's how much of reality we perceive.
Wow.
All of this is out there. And we just perceive our little physical world. It's just this sliver. So it's like we have this bubble that we live in. The ancient philosophers called it Maya, right? In Eastern religion, it was called Maya, the illusion. Very much ties into this idea of a simulation and a created world that we have this beautiful little reality where we can play out our lives and learn and grow and all of those wonderful things. So I think with time, as our mind expands, as our intuition expands, we'll be able to comprehend more and more of what's really going on here.
Yeah, we're in a state of expansion, and that can scare people and it can excite people both. While you're talking, I am, things are activated, and I'm thinking about how visuals, I'm thinking about your cards that you have online, and also this visual element where we're so visual right now in our reality, and we have this stuff going past all the time, which can be good for us and it can be confining, right? So talk to me a little bit about these cards that you have, because I understand that they kind of came from a tradition of using visuals, maybe even in the church. So talk about that for a minute. Yeah.
Yes. So I love that I got to include this in this book. And if you've followed my work at all, you know that I love using intuition cards and insight cards to develop intuition. And one of the ancient practices that the church actually employed, and this is one of the things I love about the Catholic Church, is that they have this whole mystical side that, you know, they don't get enough credit for, I think, anymore with everything else that's going on. But there's a beautiful mystical tradition behind that. And one of those traditions is something called sacred seeing. And it's called Visio Divina. And it was a age-old practice where we'd use art and images to evoke epiphanies, to evoke guidance, to evoke divine communication. So I loved this idea, and I thought that it really was a wonderful way of tying in intuition to our spiritual practice. And that became part of my inspiration when I worked with designing my own insight card deck. So it was one of my lifelong dreams to create my own card deck, an intuitive development card deck, because I really didn't feel like any of the card decks out there could do what I wanted to do with them. So what's different about insight cards is that they're just pictures. There's no intrinsic value to any of these pictures. It's not like they're part of the tarot system or they don't have any words. They don't give you any advice. It's just, they're just pictures that are designed to evoke an intuitive message. So when you look at one and you follow your intuition, it will give you a message, a guiding message. So they're really super fun. And people love them. They end up being like the most popular thing of everything. People like just have like tons of people this morning after my event last night. Like, everyone loves the cards. So I love it. And you can actually go on my website. I have a free interactive card deck where you can go and you can sign up and you can use it anytime for free and pull those cards and get a little message, start a conversation with the part of you that knows everything.
What is your website?
At kimchesney.com.
Now that's easy. Thank goodness. So you're the original. You're the original Kim Chesney. Yes, absolutely.
There's not too many of us out there.
I love it. I love the visual idea. You know, it's evoking something, and I've always thought that the language of symbols is part of what happens.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah,
that's exactly it. Because the intuitive side of your brain, once you start realizing it doesn't function like our linear, it doesn't sit down and say, well, this happened, this is going to happen because that happened. And because, right, it's not like that. It speaks instantly. So symbols, visuals, metaphors, like even like phrases, song music, things like that, it communicates instantly. So symbols and visuals are a great way to activate that side of your brain, which is also the creative side, the imaginative side, that side that dreams. So you can see it's all connected.
Yeah. So talk about vibration as part of this quantum field. Talk about that for a minute. I'm a sound person, frequency.
Yeah. Well, yes, wonderful. And I think vibration and frequency are really important when it comes to intuition, because all of that, think of that information that's stored in the field, is stored at a very high vibration. So that's like, that truth is up there. It's at a level that in our like everyday life, that's why we don't, you know, it's one of the invisible stuff that we can't get, right? Just a lot of. So when we raise our vibration, we hear a lot about that, right? And there's actually a real reason for it. Happiness, joy, being in, having feelings of well-being and wholeness, those align us with that frequency and that vibration where intuition is stored on the field. So think about it. So when you're sick or you're feeling down or depressed, it's so hard to get into that headspace, to get real empowering guidance from our inner wisdom. We start feeling negative, or we'll start accessing that lower vibration energy, right? So it's so important, things like meditation, self-care, appreciation, gratitude, mindfulness, all these things that we're learning today in this contemporary sort of spiritual culture are really important for cultivating that state of mind where we can actually access those intuitive waves and frequencies.
I'm also very much hearing you. You know, when we're in that state and we're accessing those lower realms, as I call them, that's also when we begin to listen to our ego mind, and
yes,
we think we are like, oh, that's my intuition. That's what I should do. And it's like, no.
No, 100%. We're down here. We're listening to our ego. We end up doubting ourselves, feeling small, or we are doing things for personal gain or ambition, right? We're living from our small self. When we move up into that intuition zone, we're living from our higher self, from our deeper self, from the universal self that knows what's best for us and everyone else.
So moving forward in life, right? And I'm going to ask this question because I actually posted it in my on Facebook. And I'm just going to read it right as I wrote it. I think I got it off of some of your questions somewhere. Why is intuition so important as we prepare to explore and potentially meet interdimensional life?
Yes, and that's, I love talking about this. And that's the question some people are afraid to ask, because this is where we get into, like, you know, the big ideas. And I had the chance to actually work with Whitley Strieber on this. So he's sort of an expert in that field. So I was really, I was really happy to get validation from him about how, when we're talking about interdimensional life, whether we're talking about interdimensionals, extraterrestrials, or even whether we're talking about loved ones and ancestors that are in the spiritual realm, right? All of this is interdimensional, crossing out of this little bubble, right? We've got the veil, right, that surrounds us, this little material bubble, and all this other stuff is out here. So there's only one thing that can penetrate this bubble and keep us connected, and that's working through that quantum field, because the quantum field is still everywhere. It's in our reality. It's in all reality. So it's the medium, right? It's the space-filling medium that connects us on every level in every universe. So we're still able to connect with lost loved ones who have passed on. That's still a reality, right? Because we can use the quantum field to connect beyond this reality. And then for interdimensional beings of any kind, right? We don't know the same language, right? That's the thing. Maybe we don't speak the same language, but we speak the same language of intuition. It's a language everyone speaks. So I call it the universal language.
Where does the idea of God, creator, spirituality enter into this union of science and what we're talking about?
Great question. And, you know, regardless of what you're, you know, really spiritual religious leanings are, I think this is a play, this is a concept that really is an underpinning of all philosophies and is really inclusive of all sort of religious traditions. And I think, you know, for me, the idea of a creator is that, you know, we commune with this creator. Like Paramahansa Yogananda said, intuition is the soul's power of knowing God. And that's one of the things that drove me for years, because I really truly believe that and have felt that myself. So whatever God is, right, whatever. And I think, again, that's starting to get into that realm of things that our brains can't fully understand yet. Right? Yeah. We can simplify it, you know, and we can have some concepts that boil it down into something we can wrap our brains around. But ultimately, it's something that's still beyond our comprehension totally. But our intuition does connect us to that. And we feel that. When we go within us, we feel that in terms of love and coherence with the universe. So coherence is a really interesting concept in physics. And it's the whole last chapter of the book, you know, is dedicated, right, to this idea that this love coherence within us is really our connection to the creator, co-creating the world, sharing, and that really we're all parts of that God, right? And that we're individualized sort of points in consciousness of this great, beautiful existence of the universe and God, whatever word you want to use for it.
I love coherence. Yeah. Because for me, I feel like you really did just a great job in the book. You take us through the whole thing. And then for me, it's like love, you know, there has to be this connectedness or something that pulls it all together. So we are unreally down to like the last minute of the show, Kim. That's crazy. What do you really want people to get from your book? What your last words?
Yeah. I just hope, honestly, that people read this book and rediscover the joy and wonder and magic of life, because that's really what it's all about. There's a world of mystery and a new frontier out there within us that we can all explore. So I just hope it brings a little bit of magic back into your life.
Thank you. Thank you so much for being on my show right at the time of all this powerful astrology and headed toward that full moon in Scorpio. And from my heart to yours, so much love. And I'll find you. I'll see you in the quantum field. That's
Amen.
Where I'll be.
Yes,
all right. And you, Benny, you're the best. And to all the listeners, so much love. And hey, you've got intuition, the illumination code. Let's illuminate ourselves and change this world. All right. Thank you so much.